In the last few weeks, the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about the big story of God, the story that we read about in the Bible. So this is week four on the big story. So how it all comes together, and how can you explain it? So there's two big questions we haven't really answered yet in terms of this. One is what happens in the future, and also what happens now. What does it mean to us now, this whole story? So to help me do this, I've contracted in a DVD, which lasts 13 minutes, and it's well worth a view. Some of you have seen it before, but I'd like you to watch it from the context of the big story, and I hope it will bring some things to life for you. It's a Numa. It's a series of these by Rob Bell, and they're basically, the whole series is to look and explore questions of faith and life. And I think this does it really, really well in terms of the big story. So I hope you like the way that Rob Bell tells the big story. I think it's a great way of bringing it all together and telling it really well. So I hope there's lots of things you can take away from that. It's probably right and proper for me to point out that at the back of the DVD, it says, "The trees in the film were planted without proper permission from city officials. Guerrilla planting of trees on city property is generally frowned upon and can result in severe fines." Personally, I think that's rather comedy. but as when people watch this on the men's weekend, one of those trees probably won't be standing up for that long. It wasn't quite planted that well. But that's the sort of thing. If you'd like a copy of that DVD, we've got some that you can borrow for your house groups, but we've also got them for sale on the resources table as well. I recommend that to you in terms of the big story. And also the Tim Keller book, The Reason for God, and also Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. They're both three really good resources that we can use for ourselves. And also, more importantly, when we're talking with our friends, these are great things to give to our friends to say, have a look at this or have a read of this, because it explains it in a great way. It gives them an opportunity as well to ask some great questions. But most importantly, we're talking about the big story of the Bible, so the Bible is a great place to go to and read and understand the big story. And again, if you haven't got your own Bible, then please do take one of these from the tables. Or indeed, if you've got somebody who needs one or would like one, then we can give them to your friends as well. So we look back onto the trees. We look back to the tree, which is over here, when they're appearing. It's sort of like the tree to the beginning of creation, and we're looking sort of this way towards the tree of life at the end, where death is taken care of and where we're living together forever with God. And in the big story, we're in between the trees. And in the vineyard, we refer to this as the now and the not yet, where we partner with God in redeeming and restoring this fallen, broken, hurting world, even though it doesn't get totally fixed right till the end. And so to bring this to life this morning for you, I've asked five people to share some of their stories. And these are stories, each of them are stories about partnering with God, and stories really about the privilege of working alongside God and what he does. And what we're trying to do in all these stories is to really sort of give glory to God in all of them as well. And some of these stories of healing, of how God works in our lives, and seeing what God does. But equally, we stand between the trees, and we also know it's actually okay if that doesn't happen as well. So the first story I want to ask Bob is going to come up. He's going to share a few things. You stand there, Bob. Right. Yeah, there you go. Right, Bob, thank you for coming today. And tell me, last week, Maggie talked about generations and the family tree and how that Jesus went through right from the beginning to him and all things happened within those families. You were telling me how at Ashburnham you had a picture from God. So tell us what that picture was and what it meant.
I responded to an invitation to come to the front for prayer, and I got laid out in the spirit. And while I was laid out and covered by this warm white light, across my eyes, just like the football results on a Saturday afternoon, came the names of people from my family who were no longer with us. And I remember then lifting my left arm up, and I was given a shield, and then I was given a short sword. And I couldn't take my eyes off the end of this sword, and this voice said, all the good that those people did in their lives has been distilled down to that point, and you've now got to carry it on. And Ashburnham was absolutely wonderful, but when I came back, I get words like frightened and no confidence. A guy here who encouraged me, I ignored him like the plague, because I didn't have the confidence to carry on.
Okay, good. And then I know the rest of the story as well. So, okay, so that's a real thing of God taking through the family tree, and actually, you know, he can take the good out of that. He can heal stuff as well. And tell me what's been happening to you at house group.
The house.
I know there's lots. There's been many a week of house group.
There's lots, but, and there's some too personal to tell.
But in terms of God speaking to you through house group, what's been happening?
I'm in a wonderful house group, and as I've relaxed, I'm starting to believe things are happening for me. I've been seeing things in the house group. One night, I just saw a pair of hands holding a bird. It could have been a pigeon, it could have been a dove, and it just threw them up. It just threw this bird in the air, and it flew off and disappeared. And then I got the words, don't worry, they always come back in the end to me. And somebody took that on board, it meant something. A few weeks ago, we were in Frank and Beryl's, and I saw this same hands holding a small bottle, and I knew it had perfume or oil in, and it just went round, dropping a little bit of this stuff on everybody's head. And then we were singing, and this voice says, I want you to do something for me, Bob. No way. And I got more and more upset, and it says, Bob, you're not going to refuse me, are you? And I said, all right. He said, don't be frightened and just surrender to me. Well, before I could answer, the whole house group is singing the verse to the song, I surrender all to you, all to you. So if we let them finish singing, and then I asked for a glass of water, and then I asked them if I could do what this voice had told me to do, and I just put my thumb in the water, and I went to each forehead, and I went like that. And by the time I finished, I was in absolute pieces.
It's good. In terms of, it's a great story of how just surrendering to God and just letting God bless you, and as you bless other people as well. And last week, after Maggie was talking, you stood up and to be prayed for. Why was that? Why
because
did you stand
after
up?
After Maggie had finished speaking, I got a word that I use every day in my life, jigsaw. Do not use the word jigsaw, but I got the follow-up to that was, we are part of a big picture, and unless you do interlock with somebody, you're not going to see the full picture. And I then decided that was enough. I'm not going to be frightened, I'm not going to be embarrassed, I want to be used, and I realise now that I am going to be used, and that's why I stood up.
Great. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And there's loads of things in that story, but right at the beginning, in terms of, you can see, in terms of families, and at the beginning, it's all been pretty messed up. And actually, by the time you get to sort of this side, to the end, relationships will be totally sorted out properly. And we're in between the trees, and we can see what's coming, but we're in the now and the not yet of the overall story. So, Birgit, do you want to come forward? Slight adjustment here, not too much. Okay, now Birgit's going to tell a story of what happened to you at work quite recently.
A few weeks ago I was at work, and I just came back from a school visit. I'm a pediatric OT in Wakefield. And I came in the office, and everyone in the team was busy getting their jackets, and they were going to some equipment demonstration I didn't know was happening. So they all vanished. And I decided to stay and do my nice admin stuff. And then one of my colleagues walked in, who started working with us about 7 months ago, and she's just handed in her notice because she didn't really like her job. So we decided to then have lunch together, and we sat on this lovely little 1 square meter piece of grass in front of A&E in the sunshine and had our lunch there. And I just said, so have the last few months just been really crap then, seeing that you're leaving? And so she was just saying she doesn't really know what's going on. She thinks she has depression, which is really unlike her, and she just doesn't know what's going on in her life, really. And as she was talking, I said, well, you know, about 2 years ago, I felt a bit like that, and I went for counseling, and I did all this, and da-da-da-da-da, and she's like, yeah, yeah. And you know how sometimes your circumstances don't actually change, but your perception does, and yeah. I guess I'm just looking for some meaning in it all, she's saying, and I was like, oh. Right. and at this time, I was actually in a phase where I was a bit like, this whole God thing, really? Really? Is it like really true? I mean, you know, I grew up in a Christian house and everything. Is it not just that I've been brainwashed quite well and now I spend all this energy and stuff in doing God stuff? So she was saying that. I'm like, okay, God, I can see you smiling. I probably have to tell her. And so I just said, you know, what helps for me, seeing that I'm a Christian, is that I talk to a friend who's a Christian and she prays for me, and sometimes there are things that are between me and God and I have to tell him and say sorry that they're between us, and that really helps. So she's like, yeah, I've noticed that maybe God has been in my life, but I would just really like to really believe that there's this thing out there that loves me. So I said, do you want me to pray for you? Yes, yes, please, yes. So I'm like, right. So I just basically said, you know, God, I just pray that she will know you're not just a thing, but you are Jesus Christ who died for her, and you just really, really love her, and you've loved her ever since she's been born and even before. And she was just looking at me with these big eyes, and then we just looked at each other really for a few minutes. And she was like, so do I have to do anything to find this God? And I, you know, could say to her, well, do you have a Bible? Yes, I have a Bible. Okay, I'll give you a little, like a devotion thing. And I just got mine through the post the day before. So I thought, well, I can give that to her. And the whole theme of it was Jesus for those 2 months. So I thought, well, that's quite handy. So then the next day, I could give her that with my favorite worship CD, which I will replace. But she seemed very happy. And she says, yeah, I've spoken to God, and it makes me feel like this. So we'll see.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So what we see there is, it, at the moment, it's like from the beginning, it's really hard. You know, since it's all gone wrong, it's hard to get in touch with God. It's hard to be as it should be in terms of with God. But by the time we get over here towards the end, and when it all gets sorted out, it's going to be great, and it's going to be really easy to relate to God as soon as we want. But we're in this place. We're in between the trees. So we see the kingdom, but it's not quite yet at this point. Okay, Libby Pollard. This my next story is from Mexico. So instead of live by satellite, because she's in a no broadband area. I can't believe that. But this is a story that's on the website. This is Libby. She's been hanging around the vineyard for a long time, and her Anthony, her dad's over there, so you can find out more from him as well. But this is a story from her. So she's in Mexico City, and she's doing a discipleship training year. One really cool story. I'll just read it as she writes it. So if I sound a bit like her with a deeper voice, you know why. One really cool story from Mexico City. We went to this park, and it was very spiritually dark. There were witches practicing witchcraft, transsexuals everywhere, huffers, which are people who sniff paint thinner from a cloth all the time. And just not a very nice place. Anyway, we started to just sing worship songs and praise Jesus and read the Bible in the park. Cool. Right. The witches saw this and started casting curses on us, and the transsexuals started hurling abuse at us. We chatted to them for a long time, and some were really respondent, some weren't. Anyways, we just started talking to this lady who was very calm, and she was asking us about what we do. Someone asked if we could pray for her after an hour of talking to her. Within about 15 seconds of praying, she hit the floor and started screaming. We were like, what? Then we realized she was possessed. Her voice changed, her eyes rolled back, and she was hissing. We were like, okay, let's cast this out. We were asking what its name was, and it was saying Diablo, which is the devil in Spanish. Anyway, a long while later, she calmed down and then fell asleep. Some of her friends came over and told us to leave her. So then 2 weeks later, we were randomly doing a production in a little park near where we were staying, nowhere near the other park. We realized she was sat watching us. So after the production, we went to speak to her. She was very calm, unlike last time, and she said she was sober for the first time in months and randomly wanted to come to this park. She never normally comes to this area, and we chatted to her and prayed for her again. This time, no devil attack. Then we invited her to our church. Church came, but she didn't. We were like, okay, well, there's nothing we can do. But halfway through the worship, she turns up. We got excited. A girl from our DTS, which is Discipleship Training School, was preaching, and she spoke on the power of prayer. At the end, she asked if anyone wanted to have this relationship with Jesus. Straight away, she lifted her hand, fell on her knees, and burst into tears. It was so incredible and emotional. We all prayed for her, and she's going to continue to come into the church. Amazing. That's a great story from that, and actually something that's really real for us as well. But in that lady, you can see the serpent at work and the snake that we saw right at the beginning. Though in the West, we often try to rationalize this so we don't see it in the way that Libby saw it in that way. But by the time we get to this tree, the tree of life at the end, Satan will be totally dealt with. But we're in this place, we're between the trees, and now we see the kingdom of God that is not quite yet, but we do see it. Okay, another story from Mel. Ha, straight in front of me. There you are. Did I get this right? There you go. Okay. Mel's going to share a story with us about that happened on the Leaders Weekend, which was earlier this year. Tell us, you went out to Market Harbour.
We did.
And with a couple of us, loads of leaders went out. But you weren't necessarily going for retail purposes. Why did you go?
Kate encouraged us to do the Hearing from Heaven, and so 12 of us sat before we went to Market Harbour and prayed about people we might meet and that we might have words from God for them. And so Gwen, Ganita and I went into Market Harbour, and we thought we'd have a little wander around, and we had our list, and Gwen and I were talking about the fact that we wanted that exact thing on the list of the person. So we were looking around, and we spent about 20 minutes, thought, well, we haven't seen anybody who matches our list, and we thought we might need to just revise our plan and maybe just think about, well, what God's showing us, who was in need. And we saw this old lady crossing the road, or trying to cross the road. She was in a grey, a beige coat, and one of the words had been a beige coat with a red hat. And we were saying, well, she doesn't have the red hat, but she kind of looked in need. So I kind of ran across the road, because we'd been in Market Harbour for about half an hour and things hadn't gone to plan. And we wondered what we would say to this lady, because I actually ran across the road and thought, well, actually, this is a bit weird. This woman might think we were slightly nutty. So I walked around the side of her, and she had this amazing carved African stick. So I kind of was talking to her about the stick, and then said, would you like a hand across the road? Because it was quite busy. And as we were walking across the road, I just happened to look in her handbag. I didn't open it, but it was open. And there was a red woolly thing in it. So I was mouthing to Gwen and Ganita, red hat, it's a red hat. And I kind of thought, well, it's a bit rude to try and put my hand in her bag. And I just got really excited. Anyway, we got across the road and just said to her, is that a red hat? And she kind of said something. I couldn't remember if it was a hat or a jumper. But anyway, I said, oh, we're just Christians in the area and just wondered if you'd like to come for a coffee. Which, if someone did that to me, I think I would think that was a bit strange. But she came for coffee, and what was amazing, she spent about 40 minutes telling us about her life in Africa, and she had the most incredible life experience. But her husband, Walter, had died in December, and this was the first time she'd been out of the house for 2 months, and she'd driven to Market Harborough, and she was just so thrilled to meet us, and we talked, and we prayed for her, and she prayed for us, and she prayed this amazing Cornish prayer, which was the Our Father, and she just looked straight in our eyes and prayed. And it was, for me, I was just so blessed that she'd had this amazing life that she shared with us, that it was the first time she'd actually come out of the house in 3 months, and it was a real blessing for us, and hopefully it was for her.
Great, thank you. I love that. I really love that story in terms of, one, it's about the guys who went out, just taking that risk and just saying, what do you want us to do today, God? And taking that risk and things happened. And I really love the fact that it was that first time that lady's been out of the house since her husband had died. And who did she bump into? Three guys from here who took her for a coffee and just shared Jesus with them. And that's just amazing. I love the way that God works in that way. But since the beginning, we've had death. And by the time we get to the end, there won't be death at all. And that's going to be dealt with permanently as well. So that's a really good thing to look forward to. But again, we're in between the trees. We're in a time where there's the now and the not yet, where we see God working, but not everything's as it should be. For the final story, I'd like to invite Richard to come to the front, please. There you go. I think that's about you. Yeah, I got you right. Okay, Richard, you've recently come to the Vineyard with your wife, Helen. Tell me, how did you come across the Vineyard? What's your first impressions?
We came across the Vineyard because my wife attended a child group and met Sally. And Andrew and I met them both there. They encouraged us to come to the church. And I think we had that not yet mentality, because for whatever reason we didn't get to come down, but we came down because my wife announced that a couple of weeks before our third baby was born, that seven magnificent women were going to cook us a meal. So we thought we'd better come down to the church to say thank you. And we came in the day before the baby was born on the Sunday, and we just came in here, and it just wasn't what we were expecting. And the welcome that we got from everybody that who didn't know us was just overwhelming. And so that was my first impressions of the church, and we've been coming ever since. So it was a fantastic experience for us.
And good food?
It was great food. I benefited most from that.
Excellent. We usually get a rating card to see which day was the best. But I won't announce the results of that one. But I was only joking. And a few weeks ago, you'd come for a couple of weeks, and you came forward after a talk, and me and Kate prayed for you. Why did you come forward at that point?
Because I felt that I'd always been aware that God was around me and not done anything about it. So I just felt like I was obliged to just come forward and just take a leap of faith, really. So I came forward to, I guess, invite Jesus into my life, and it just felt the right thing to do. And that particular week, some very strange things began to happen. Like, for example, an old lady was walking behind my car in a car park, a blind woman, it turned out. I didn't know that when I spoke to her. And she was like pushing this Zimmer frame kind of thing. I just felt I had a bit of confidence having invited Jesus into my life just to speak to her, because I thought she might need to speak to somebody. And when I started talking to her, it was obvious that she couldn't see, and I had to describe who I was. She said, "Who are you?" and all the rest. We just got talking, and miraculously, it turns out that this lady, I'm in the middle of Hare Hills, quite close to where I live, but about a mile away. It turns out, by the way, we had a long conversation. She sat down. There was a seat in her Zimmer frame. So we had this really, so we sat down to this conversation. It was great. And then she told me she was blind. And it miraculously turned out that she says, where do you live? And I said, we're on Wellhouse Avenue. And she said, what number do you live at? And I told her where we live. And it turns out, because we've got a semi, she used to live most of her life in the house next door to us. And then we got talking. It turns out she's a Christian as well, and her name's Helen, and my wife's called Helen. She's a midwife. My wife's a midwife, and it was just like, wow. It was like a little sign for me that my decisions have come forward, and to kind of invite Jesus into my life was the right one. I could tell you loads of other things that happened, but that's just an example of the kind of things.
So in your job, you're a professional speaker, and you have a script that you stick to. And I thought you sent me a very funny email about I had to change my script slightly about your life and that about.
Yeah, in my talk, and I know some people are aware, but not everybody will be aware. In my talk, I described how my mum was taken from us when I was a 5-year-old boy. And what I would normally say is the day that happened, and I'm not saying I'm religious, but I prayed for my mum to be brought back. So that's what I would normally say. So when I said that for the first time after I invited Jesus into my life, I realised, well, no, I am religious now. So I said, actually, no, I am religious now, but I wasn't back then. So I've had to kind of change what I say. So anyway, that was just an example.
Yeah, so it's a great story of God just in your life all the time, and it's really good in terms of doing that. And you prayed for a bunch of people at Middlesbrough the other week as well, did you?
That week when I started to change a little bit and all my perception changed, I was on my way up to Middlesbrough via the train, and that confidence that I got that week, I was in the, because I had bags with me, I got into the lift down to the platform, and there was a man with a walking stick, and he obviously couldn't walk very well, so I just started speaking to him in the lift, and I said, oh, what happened there then? And he had some kind of It was a disease of the bones or something.
Right.
And he described it, and he was in pain. He said, oh, I'm just going out for the first time today to York, to the York Museum, just to take himself out. So when I walked away from him, I wanted to pray with him, but I just walked away, and I stood in the middle of the platform, and I said a little prayer, asking that he would have a pain-free day. And I just felt good to do that. And then I wanted to go, and I saw him, and he was smiling. I wanted to go up to him and tell him, but I didn't have the confidence to do that. But when I got to Middlesbrough, I was speaking at a very deprived, on a very deprived estate, and a similar estate to where I'm from. And I just, as I was there in this little kind of shopping complex with all the boarded windows open, the odd shop was open, I just felt that I would say a little prayer for the young people I was about to speak to, that those that needed to hear what I had to say would accept it, so to speak, and be helped by it. So twice that week, I felt like the need to pray and those with
him. Great.
Anyway.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Richard. Thanks for sharing. Cheers. And I think you can see there's a number of things, just how Jesus does change our lives and does that. And he does it for me. He's done it for a lot of us here as well. But also we see since the beginning, you know, we've had communities which are fractured and are incomplete. But by the time we get to the end, we'll be part of a marvellous community centred around God. But, you know, we're in this place. We're in between the trees where, you know, we can see all that, but it's not quite yet. But this is where God still works, and God is real in all our lives and in all that we do. So the invitation is to be part of that as well. So we are in between the trees in terms of what we do and where we are. But the invitation is actually, you know, do you want to partner with God in this? Do you want to partner with him in all that we're doing? And, you know, do you want to be part of that in terms of have a relationship with God, maybe for the first time to recognize it, or something you want to say, you want to deepen that with God? And do you want to partner with him to see his kingdom coming now? So the one we see right at the end, he gives us this promise that this can happen now in terms of what we're doing. So would you like to stand? So really, we just pray a really simple prayer at this time. I would just ask, just Lord, your Holy Spirit, just pray your Holy Spirit come and just fall on us now. Pray your kingdom will break in, the kingdom that we see and that you promise, and the one that you created that went wrong. Just pray your kingdom will break in, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to just come and fall on us now, Lord.